You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Thank you, Jason. Welcome to Sunlife Church. If you are new here and you've never met me before, my name is Bin. I'm the senior pastor of Sunlife Church. And what we love doing here is go through what the Bible says. We're systematically going through the epistles of John. These are the three letters written by one of Jesus' closest disciples, right? And we find these letters at the end of the New Testament. And we're going through 1 John, and this morning we're at the very end of chapter 3. Next week we have Reverend Don West. This is the principal Trinity Theological College expounding and unpacking chapter 4. So, it's going to be great that you would be reading the Word of God during the week. You're questioning God. You're trying to wrestle with the Word of God. And come on Sunday to hear what the preachers have to say. All right? So I'm going to pray, and we're going to dive straight into the text and get straight to work. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to expound and bring your Word to life. I pray that your people will hear your Word, that you would use me, God. And whatever it is that you're saying to us, Lord, will you make it so clear through me, God, and challenge us to grow into the likeness of, you know, our Lord, your Son, Jesus Christ. Will you bless us so? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Did anyone, by any chance, did you read chapter 3? Anyone? Yes, Russell, thank you. Great. I'm gonna keep asking this every time I'm on stage. Did anyone open up the Bible, read the Bible during the week? Russell, thank you. Did anyone get excited last night at around 8:30? Gabe? I don't know about you, but my wife is feeding Matilda. I'm just sidetracking. My wife is feeding Matilda, settling her, and in the lounge room, there's Ollie, and there's Cameron, and there's myself. We're watching the game last night, and the boys kept asking me, Dad, are they going to win? Are they going to win? And I just said, it's in the Lord's hand. It's in the Lord's hand, and then we won with 40 seconds to go. And I'm just pumped, because I reckon it's going to be a powerful sermon this morning. I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to go. So 1 John chapter 3, 19 to 24, if you have your Bible, please go there. Otherwise, it's on the screen behind me. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. And verse 24, the one who keeps God's commands lives in Him and He in them, and this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. And that's the Word of God. So what's going on here? Remember, we have a young church, new Christians, and there are these false teachers from within the church spreading all these rumors, challenging their faith, saying things to these young Christians. Don't believe in the apostles. They didn't really fully get it right. The new teachers in the church, we have this fresh revelation from God. Follow us. Listen to our teaching. Forget about Peter. Forget about Paul. Forget about John. Listen to us. We know what you must do in order to be part of God's family. Come on. We're starting a church plant around the corner. Forget about Sun Life Church. Come and join Sun Song Church, you know, just around the corner. Come and join us. That's happening in the church. And these young Christians are now questioning their faith. Am I really part of God's family? Do I really belong to God? Do I know that I'm secure? Is my faith real? If I was to die tomorrow, would I really return home with the Lord? And they're questioning their faith. And this gets to John. And John's an old man now. He's probably late 80s, early 90s. He's the remaining surviving disciple and he writes this beautiful letter, and right here at the end of chapter 3, he wants to assure their faith. He wants to say to these new Christians, you really do belong to the truth. You really do belong to God. You are really His. So I titled this sermon, you know, Our Assurance. Because I believe as I look in the text here, there are three things that John is assuring these new Christians that they really do belong to God. It's because this is that we and them, we have the grace of God. That's our assurance. Secondly, we have confidence, right, in prayer. And thirdly, we have the powerful Holy Spirit in us. And what John is doing, he's saying to these new Christians, you belong to Him because you have the grace of God, you have confidence in prayer, and you have the Holy Spirit in you. And I want to look at that with you this morning. All right, that's where we're going. The first one, the grace of God. Look again with me in verse 20 and 21. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And He, that's God, knows everything. Dear friends, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Now, here's a few things I want to talk about before I talk about the grace of God. John talks about our conscience, our heart. When we read in the New Testament, we hear John talks about our conscience, or Paul talks about our heart or our conscience. We all have this. Whether you are a Christian or not, whether you have a relationship with Jesus or not, we all have a conscience. We have a heart or a gut feeling that shouts out to us when we're doing something wrong. This is not the Holy Spirit. All right? This is for every one of us. We all have a conscience. Let me paint it like this. You're going to the shops, I don't know, Karen Up Shopping Center, and as you're driving to the shops, it begins to rain. It's bucketing down. It is like, you know, Cyclone Tracy has just resurrected. It's like wet. It is chaotic. And you're wearing these nice white Air Jordans. Right, Min? Where's Min? You know what I'm talking about, right? It's brand new. It's white. And you know that a drop of water on these new shoes, it's game over. You know a bit of mud on it, it's game over. So you're praying that when you get to the shopping center, that there's a parking bay right near the entrance. You've been there before? Because you know it's wet. You know it's windy. You know that the shoes will get dirty. So you're praying in the name above all name, the name of Jesus Christ, and you're claiming it and you're demanding it that there's a parking bay right near the entrance door so that you can get into the shopping center without damaging your shoes. So you get there and there's nothing. It's chock-a-block filled and there's no parking bay at the front. So you decide to do a loop, crank up the CD, worship God, pray louder, make promises to God that you'll never keep, like coming to church on time, you know? You're praying and you're claiming and you're casting out demons and you're praying that the parking bay will be free when you get there. And as you come back near the entrance, you realize there's nothing there. But you notice there's one bay vacant. It's a big bay. It's a bay that has this green or blue spray paint mark with someone on a throne, a chair, and you're going, this must be a sign from God. God is on His throne, so your theology is a bit messed up now. You know, God is on His throne. God is telling me that this is my parking bay. But you know that it's the disabled parking bay. But you're rationalizing now. You're saying, well, you know what? It's wet. Disabled people are probably not going shopping when it's wet. They're probably at home sleeping, resting. So maybe this is for me. So what do? You park there. You've been there before? Liars. Every single one of you. So you park there, and you're now walking into the shops, and your conscience is speaking to you. Maybe for some of you, it's perfectly okay. Your heart is saying, yes, I can justify you parking there. It's okay. Your heart is saying, that's fine. It's wet. It's a waste of space. I pay my taxes. There happens to be a free spot there. No one's going to use it anyway. I will park there. So you're walking in and your heart is saying there's nothing wrong. But for some of you, your heart is screaming out at you. That's wrong. Get back into the car, turn on the ignition, and go and find another place to park, because that is wrong. You've been there before? That's your conscience. Whether you are a Christian or not, we all have that. It's something inside that God gives us. And that's how the heart works. And that's what we see right here when John says, if your heart is condemning us. You see it right there. And I think your conscience or your heart kind of condemns us or judge us or critiques us in two ways. Okay, it's like either an ungodly conduct or a godly conscience. So ungodly conduct is when you do something and you know it's ungodly. You know it's wrong. You've lost your temper, you've raised your hand against your children, you've said something awful to your spouse in the heat of the moment, you're stealing something, you're cheating, committing adultery, whatever. You know that is wrong because it's ungodly and your heart is saying, hey, that is ungodly and that's wrong. And your heart will condemn you. And your heart will judge you. Or the other one is your godly conscience, where you've done nothing wrong. But your heart is saying, you can do more. You can be more holier. You can be more godly. You can give more. And you're constantly being so harsh on yourself. You know, I speak to a lot of pastors and Christians in this city and in this country where some of them are always like, I'm not good for God, I'm so bad, and they're always like being meek. And I understand that. I understand the fact that they want to be humble and meek before God, but they are their worst critics. They're the worst judge on themselves, and they're constantly saying, well, I'm not good enough. And that's the heart at work condemning us. I tell you right now, during the week, I was praying for some people in my office. And as I'm praying for people, my heart, my condemning heart, starts saying things like, Ben, you should not be praying for these people. Remember what you did a week ago. This is just me during the week. As I'm praying for someone, as I'm believing that God's going to help them, my heart is just pointing fingers at me, condemning me, judging me, critiquing me. It happens. Or maybe for some of you, you know, you don't want to come here regularly. Because you're hopping in the car and you're driving to church. But as you're driving, your heart condemns you. You're not worthy to come into this place. Everyone here reads the Bible. Everyone here never parks in the disabled parking bay. And you don't read the Bible, you always park in this parking bay and your heart is condemning you. Maybe for some of you, you don't want to be part of a small group. You don't want to be in a connect group because you know that you're not worthy or you feel that you've done things that just puts a black line across your name that you should never belong to a small group at Sun Life Church. Have you been there before? You've had a heart that's pointing fingers at you saying, you're not good enough. Look what you did. And I'm not saying this is the Holy Spirit. I'm saying this is the condemning heart because we see that right there in Scripture. But look at what John says right here. In verse 19 and 20, this is how we know that we belong to the truth. In other words, we belong to God, part of His family, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. That if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He, that's God, knows everything. Can you see that? You see what John is saying right here? When your heart condemns you, when your heart judges you, you need to remember that God is greater than your heart. God knows exactly everything that's going inside here. He knows your motives. He knows what you're up to. He knows how sinful you are on the inside. But the Bible says here that God knows it and God is greater than your condemning heart. You cannot hide from God. Your dark, deepest secrets, your evil motives, God knows it. Psalms 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. God knows everything that happens inside here. You know our condemning heart knows us better than everyone else. Is that right? Your condemning heart knows you more than your spouse would ever know about you. And the Bible says right here that God knows that as well. He knows you. What is deep down in the recesses of your heart, God knows what's happening down there. But I love it how John would say that God is greater than your condemning heart. Greater. And that's the grace of God. If your heart is troubled today, I want you to hear from me. Even better, I want you to hear from the Word of God that God is greater than your condemning heart. God is greater than your condemning heart. Your heart does not have the final say. God has the final say. Your heart is not the ultimate judge. God is the ultimate judge. God is more merciful with us than we are with ourselves. God is greater than that condemning heart. You know, your heart might be saying things like this to you. Oh, you are a sinner. You're sinful. Oh, you're unworthy. You're unworthy. You're horrible for doing that to your kids. God is saying this. You are love. You are worthy that I died for you. You are forgiven. Your condemning heart might be pointing at you, judging you, critiquing you, but God speaks love. He speaks life. He speaks hope. He speaks forgiveness. He is greater than the condemning heart. That's beautiful. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. And if you can agree with what I'm saying right now, if you're saying, yeah, Pastor, I agree with that. Because there's been times where my heart is condemning me, but I sense the love of God and the grace of God. That's beautiful because that means you belong to God. That you've experienced the grace of God. You belong to God. You and I, we are so loved by God, not because we are good, but because God is good. That's grace. You and I, we're so loved by God, not because we have done anything special. It's because Jesus did it all. That's the grace of God. That's why He loves us. So whatever you may be experiencing right now, that condemning heart, the things that you have done in the past week or the past month or years, find comfort that God knows that. You can't hide away from God. He knows that. But the Bible says that He is greater than that condemning heart. His love, His forgiveness, His kindness, His merciful, His grace. That's reassuring to know that. That gives me confidence that I belong to God. If you have experienced that, then you know that you belong to Him. Martin Luther, who I love, he writes this. Conscience is one drop. The reconciled God is a sea of comfort. That's how great God is. That's how great God is. Your condemning heart is not the final judge. God is the final judge. Your condemning heart does not have the final say. God has the final say. Your condemning heart might say that you're a sinner. God says you're forgiven. The condemning heart might say you're unworthy. God says you're worthy. Are you with me? That's the grace of God. If you experience that, you're part of His family. That's what John is doing. He's reassuring these baby Christians that, you know what? Forget about these false teachers. Forget about their silly teachings. Just see whether you've experienced the grace of God. And if you have, you belong to Him. Amen? Second point, the confidence of prayer. John talks about this confidence that we have in prayer. Look in verse 22. And receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. There are two things I want to say here. Is that we have confidence to draw close to God in prayer. And we have confidence that when we pray, God will answer us in our prayer. That's the confidence that we have as Christians. If you have those confidence, it means that you're part of God's family. Let's think about this. If we didn't have confidence to draw close to God, then we would not have confidence to pray to God. Is that right? Because when you draw close to God in prayer, what you're doing is you're entering into this intimate setting. Because what is prayer? Prayer is you going into this place where you are in this intimate setting with God. You're talking to the Creator God. You're communicating with Him. That's prayer. And if you don't have confidence to draw into His presence, you won't even pray. So if right now you're praying a lot, you're having this relationship with God. I talk to a lot of people in this church and outside this church who say to the pastor, can you pray for me that I can grow in my intimacy with God? And I will pray for you. And then I'll say this, can I give you something to try? Yeah, sure, what, pastor? Start praying. Simple as that. The more you pray, the more you will grow in intimacy with God. Because what is prayer? Prayer is going to a place, an intimate setting with God. You're praying to God. So if you want to grow in intimacy with God, start spending more time with God. Start reading the Bible. Start praying more. So as we pray to God, we should know that there's this confidence that we can draw to God, even if the condemning heart is saying, you're not worthy. You are worthy. Even when the heart says, you should not even go into the presence of God because God's going to strike you down. No. The Bible says that there is love, and love drives out fear. We look at that in the next few chapters. There has to be confidence that you can draw into the presence of God in prayer. And if that is you right now, and you say, yeah, pastor, I am praying to God. I might not be praying every day. I might not have a good prayer life, but I know that every time I draw close to God in prayer, He hears me and I can talk to Him. That's confidence. You're part of His family. That's beautiful. But maybe God is saying to you this morning, He wants you to increase the frequency of prayer. Increase the frequency. Pray more. But you've got to have confidence to draw closer to Him. Hebrews 4:16. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We've got to have confidence to come to God. Let me give this example here. Let's say you were given a special invite to see the Queen of England. See the Queen and the royal family. Special invite, Louis. Here's a special invite for you. Monique doesn't get invited, but you do. Because she's, you know, looking after the babies at home. Now, Louis, you know, I'm pretty sure that when you go and see the Queen or the royal family, you would probably dress appropriately. You would probably be praying pretty hard that you won't be saying anything silly or inappropriate in front of the Queen. You'll probably just stand there, stand still, smile. When it's your turn, greet the Queen. Right, and that's what you do. And I would imagine the majority of us would be quite anxious and quite nervous if we were in the same room with the Queen to greet her. Would you agree? Now, what about little Prince George? I've got a picture of Prince George here. For those who know Prince George, he is the son of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. He is the Queen. Oh, maybe it's not here. That's fine. He is the Queen's grandson. He's a little cute 3-year-old boy. Can you imagine him? Can you imagine him coming into the room like any 3-year-old toddler, carefree, loud, full of beans, full of energy, running around, running towards his dad, running towards his mum, running towards his grandmother, the Queen? And what's the difference between George and you and I? Oh, he's part of the royal family. Is that right? He has a relationship with all these people. We don't. Therefore, the way he approached them is very different to you and I. There's confidence in the way he approaches his family. And that's the same with you and I. We get to approach God in prayer because He is Father. We are His children. We should come to Him like kids, knowing that when we run towards God, all there will be is love and not judgment or condemnation. He will just embrace us because He is Father. That's the confidence that John is saying right here, that we must have in the Lord. If you have that confidence, that's what John is saying. If you have the confidence, you belong to Him. That's your assurance. You're part of the family. If you don't have the confidence, maybe you need to reassess where you're at. The second thing about this passage here is we notice that there's confidence that God will answer all our prayers. So when we pray to God and we ask God for the big things and the little things, we must have confidence that God will answer all our prayers. Look at the text again. Verse 22. And receive from God anything we ask, because we keep His command and do what pleases Him. Can you see that? Now, this verse does not imply that you ask God anything and it's yours. I've got people who've quoted me this verse and say things like, yep, I believe if I ask that, that's mine. Lord, I really want that girl to be my girlfriend. Lord, I've stalked her for the last 1 month on Facebook. Now I'm going to add her as my friend. And then next week, I'm going to ask her out on a date. Jesus, in your name, she be my girlfriend. Amen. It doesn't work like that. Or the one, you know, the classic one, God, you are the God of all possibility. You are the great God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all name, that this weekend you give me the numbers to Powerball so that I have the money to bless the church. Amen. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work. God is not an indulgent father. He gives us everything we ask for. He's a loving father. He gives us not what we want, but what we need. That's the God that we approach. But look at the text carefully. What does the text say? We get what we ask for because we keep his commands and we do what pleases him. You understand me? So when you keep his commands and do what pleases him, whatever you ask is yours. What does that mean? You pray in God's will. If it's not in God's will, it's not yours. So if you pray anything in the will of God for God's glory and your goodness, I guarantee you it's yours. How do you know God's will? Spend time with God. The more you spend time with God, the more you know what is God's will. Read the Bible. Pray to God. You get to know God more. And I guarantee you, when you pray in God's will be yours. That's what the Bible is saying. Yeah. My kids, my two boys, my daughter, if they know me, if they know their father's will, they know what's good for them because their father loves them. Whatever they ask me, it will be theirs. Dad, can we do Kumon tonight? Yes! Amen! Dad, can we read the Bible together? Yes! Amen! Dad, can we serve at Sun Life Church? Can we go to church and not play Oz kick football? Hallelujah! Amen! That's yours. Claim it. Oh, Dad, can we eat chocolate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? What's the answer? What's the answer? You know what the answer is. Get out of my household. No. The answer is just no. I was exaggerating. But you get my point. If our kids ask us things because it's gonna, you know, be good for them and it pleases us, the answer will always be yes. And that's the same with God. When you ask God things in His will, the answer will be yes. So that means that we should come to God with all our prayers, big things and little things. Because we know that if it's in the will of God, no matter how small it is or how grand it is yours. That's so important. We pray because nothing is too small for God's undivided attention and nothing's too big for God's divine intervention. That's why we pray. Because if it matters to us, it will matter to God. We might say, well, it's so small. God won't give me his undivided attention. If it matters to you, it matters to God. Oh, it's so big. Oh, God can't really help me. That's God. Of course he can help you. He's divine. He's sovereign. He can help you. So we pray to God for everything. You know, as a father of these beautiful kids here that God has given me responsibility to look and watch over, you know, the prayers that little Cameron Olivers are praying these days really, really melt my heart. You know, like little Cameron is praying during dinner. He's praying about for the poor people. He's praying that, you know, God, thank you that we have food, and we pray that you would look after the poor people who don't have food. That's beautiful. The other day, Cameron was praying, and this is like 2 weeks ago. Dad, I pray that you become a better pastor. How good is that? That's small things and big things. And we should approach God in the same manner. Amen. No matter how small or how big it is, we should have confidence to come to him. Maybe for some of you, you don't know how to pray. You want to pray. Oh, you know, I hear some of the guys pray on stage and it's so great, so grand, big, long, theological words. I don't know how to pray. Or when you get asked to pray, I remember as a little boy, you know, going to Sunday school or a Bible study fellowship, and at the end of the night where we're all finished reading the Bible and we close the Bible and it's time to pray, and the pastor is quite evil because he's always looking at me and he goes, okay, we're going to find someone to pray. And I'm the first guy to look away because I don't make any eye contact with him, because as soon as I do, he's going to ask me to pray. And most of the time my heart is racing so fast because I'm not quite sure how to pray or how I should be praying. You've been there before? Never. Hallelujah. But that was your pastor. Because you think it's these grand words and big words. It's like you throw this huge word and God's up there going, wow, tapping on Paul's shoulders, Peter's shoulders, or check that word down there, Sun Life of Prayer, these huge words. Wow, that excites me. No. It's just talking to your daddy for whatever it is on your heart, whatever that's bothering you, that's prayer. No matter how small or how big it is, we should have confidence if we pray in the will of God, God will answer those prayers. Just talk. Just talk to God. Short prayers. I don't like long prayers. I can't hold attention that long. So if you're going to pray with me and it's very, very long, there's a very good chance that I'll be probably somewhere else. Z-Land. Short prayer from the heart. Start praying more. Have confidence to draw closer to Him in prayer. And have confidence to believe that He will answer your prayer. Amen? Last point. So then he starts saying, well, here's another thing that will help you confirm your faith or reassure that you belong to Him, is the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the empowering Holy Spirit. Look at verse 23 and 24 as we conclude. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's command live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. What do you notice in the text? John would say, you remain in God, or you abide in God, and God remain in you, right? Right? In other words, you're part of Him because you believe in the name of Jesus and you love one another. That's what he's doing right there. You believe in Jesus, you love each other, you belong to Him. Now, what does it mean to believe in the name of Jesus? I need to take you to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. So go with me to John 8, 31, 32. So Jesus said to the Jews, these are the new Christians, who had believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You notice what Jesus is saying right here. You are My disciple if you abide, in other words, if you take up what I'm saying to you. There is this obedience in believing Jesus. All right? The Christian lifestyle, listen carefully, is not that I believe that He died for me and that's it. I believe that He died for me, but now I'm in obedience to what He tells me to do. There's obedience. All right? There has to be obedience in our lifestyle. We have to be totally committed to Jesus and obedient to Jesus. And what is the command of Jesus? Can you remember in the gospel? There's many commands of Jesus, but what is the greatest command of Jesus? Can you remember? To love God with all your heart, right? All your mind also, and love who else? Others, neighbors as yourself. That's it. And you can see how it ties in here. There is no obedience to Jesus if we do not love one another. You see what John is doing? If you love one another, if you follow Jesus, you're part of Him. But I must admit, because it is difficult to always obey Jesus. I must admit, it is difficult to love the people in this church all the time. Especially those who are different to you. Especially those who barracks for the West Coast Eagles. It's very, very hard. Especially those who talk about the West Coast Eagles when you're preaching away. I listen. I have ears and eyes in this church. You won't get away with that. Just because I'm away next week over East, I will still know. It will still get to me. But then, is the text saying this? Listen carefully. Is the text saying this? That I am only in Him if I obey Him. In other words, follow His command and love the people in this church. But that's not the message of the Bible. Because the Bible doesn't talk about what I have to do in order to be part of his family. I mean, as I read the Bible's message is not what I have done, but what God has done. So how do I reconcile that? I mean, John is saying that if I obey Jesus, in other words, believe in his name, and if I love the people in this church here, then I belong to God. But is that a works thing? Is that a human effort thing? That's not the message of the Bible. Is that right? So what do you notice in this text carefully at the very end? At the very end of verse 24, what does John say? We know it by the Spirit he gave us. This, listen carefully, is the key here. We can only obey Jesus and do the commands of Jesus. We can only love one another the way he wants us to love one another because the Holy Spirit is in us. He is working in us and through us. The Holy Spirit is not some force or not some power. The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. One God, three person. The Holy Spirit is given to us to empower us, to change us, so that we can follow what Jesus wants us to do, so that we can love each other the way he wants us to love each other. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what John is doing here is this. You belong to God the Father is because you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in you to change you, so that you can follow Jesus, so that you can obey Jesus, so that you can love each other the way you ought to love each other. And it's a progress. That's what happens. You see, the Holy Spirit's role is to regenerate our heart. We call that regeneration. In other words, to change your heart, to be born again. That's the Spirit's role. The Holy Spirit's role is to empower us to deny ourselves and follow Jesus. We deny ourselves and we take up the cross. That's the Holy Spirit's role. The Holy Spirit testifies in our spirit that we belong to God, that we can cry out to God, Abba Father. He is Daddy and we are children. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live like Christ and no longer like our old self. Objectively, the Spirit is given to us, and subjectively, the Spirit is experienced by us. Do you understand that? That means that if you experience the Holy Spirit daily, if you know objectively the Spirit's given to you, you're part of his family. Can you see what John is doing? All these false teachers who are saying you got to do X, Y, Z to be part of God's family. John says no. You're part of his family because the Holy Spirit is given to you. Come on, let's admit this. Some of us before we met Jesus, totally different. The day we met Jesus, the day the Holy Spirit came into our lives, we were totally changed. We're different. Instead of losing your temper every hour, you notice now you're gentle and you're kind and you're considerate. Right? Instead of spending all your money on drugs and alcohol, you're tithing and you're giving your money to gospel work. Instead of reading those car magazines or whatever magazines you read, now you're reading your Bible and you're loving the Bible. Instead of sleeping in on Sunday, you're coming early to serve and to worship Jesus. Instead of hurting people and hating people, now you're loving people and liking people. That's God working in you. I mean, if you take a serious look at yourself, your old self before the Holy Spirit came in and changed you is totally different to the new self. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is in you and you have the Holy Spirit, you belong to God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We find ourselves living less as who we were and more as who Jesus is in our lives. Now, in saying all that, as I study the Bible, I know that it's not just only God's work in his Holy Spirit, but also there's an element of human responsibility. There's a bit of human effort as well. I mean, I read passages where it talks about we are set apart for God, or we have to live according to the gospel or the calling, or past passage where it talks about, you have to live holy lives. There's an element here that it is also our effort and our responsibility to obey Jesus and to love one another. Are you with me? We can't just say, well, it's all God. It's all Holy Spirit. So I sit back and do nothing because God is going to do everything. He's going to change me. I'm going to love Him more. I'm going to love people more. No, you read the Bible carefully and you notice it's God on one side. That's divine sovereignty. And we on the other side, that's human responsibility. And it works together. We have to make an effort to follow God's command. We have to make an effort to love each other. That's our responsibility. So let's say right now you're a leader in this church. You've got a pastoral responsibility. You're a zone leader, a connect group leader, a pastor, an elder in this church. Brothers, sisters, you've got a wonderful responsibility. It's a unique calling. God has placed you there to love people. God has placed you there to embrace people. So someone comes along to Sun Life Church on a Sunday morning, that's your job. Your job is to embrace them. Your job is to love them. You can't be picky. You can't say, well, I don't want to talk to that person because that person is totally different to me. There'll be too much work there. I'll find someone else who's more likable. You can't be picky because God is not picky with you. God is not picky with me. God loves me when I was such a sinner that He died for me. That I can't be picky with whoever God brings to this church. That I have to ask God to help me to love that person and embrace that person. If we are in the area of pastoral leadership, that's our wonderful responsibility. Maybe talk to someone after service. Hey, how was your week? Is there anything I can pray for you? That's loving people. Hey, I didn't notice you here last weekend. Is everything okay? Hey, are you doing anything after the service? Let's catch up for a coffee. Let's have lunch. That's loving people. If that's us in that responsibility, the area of pastoral leadership, hey, may God grow us to love these people more. Or maybe you're serving. You're serving on the welcome team, hospitality, logistics, music at the back. You know, as you serve, that's your love for God and His people. You're serving and you're creating this wonderful place for people to come to worship Jesus. I mean, the guys that press the PowerPoint at the back, you are serving the people, you are serving me as I unpack the Word of God because you love the people here. That's why you would come here early to do what you do. I praise God for you. Keep up the good work. For those who are not leading, for those who are not serving, you know what? It's okay. Just coming along every Sunday encourages me. Do you know that? When you are here every week, week in and week out, and even if you don't know Jesus yet and you're still coming here, man, that encourages me. And when that encourages me, it builds me up, it edifies me, that's loving me. So keep coming. Keep coming every week. Keep overcome the resistance to stay home and come here and hear the Word of God and worship with me because that encourages me, that loves me and the entire leadership team. That's important for you to hear that. Because if church is all about me, what I get out of this place, what is this place offering me, then what happens is that I will only go here when I want to go here. I will only be here if I feel like being here. I'll only visit on Sunday if it's convenient to me. But if church is not about me, about us loving each other more, whether you're a leader, volunteer, or just someone who comes to worship, it's not about what I get out of it. It's also about what I give to the people around me, that my presence encourages the people around me, that the conversation I have after service encourages the people around me, that my prayers for the people around me build them up. This will be a wonderful place to be. And this is a wonderful place. This is very different because this is not a social club or some kind of organization. This is the body of Christ. This is the church. We are family. We are family. And that's how we love each other more. And if we're loving each other more, you know what? We know that we belong to God. We do this not because it brings about our salvation. No. We do this because we're already saved. We do this not because God will love us. No. We do this because God has already loved us and is always loving us. Amen? We do this not because we have to do this. We love each other because we want to love each other. That makes this a great place to be. That's what John does. He says, you want to know whether you are a follower of Christ? Do you want to know whether you really belong to God? Do you really want to know if you are His children? He says, well, have you experienced the grace of God? Do you know that when the heart condemns you, God's grace is greater? Do you know that you have confidence to draw close to God in prayer? That when you pray to God in accordance to His will, it will be given to you. And He says, you know that you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Spirit who builds you up, empowers you to love people and follow the commands of Jesus. And if you have those things, you're His. 100% His. You're His now and you'll belong to Him in eternity future. That's our assurance. That's our confidence. Amen. Let me pray for you. Let me challenge you. I feel the need to challenge you this morning. With all eyes closed, so if there's anyone here this morning and God has really spoken to you this morning, you are struggling this morning. You know, your heart is condemning you this morning. Your heart is really shouting at you, saying that you're not worthy, saying that, you know what, you've done some horrible things and you don't even belong here. And your heart is troubling you this morning and you need prayer, I want to pray for you. If you're someone this morning, you're also saying, well, I want to grow in my intimacy with God. I want to be able to have confidence to draw closer to God. I want to be able to pray to God. If that is you, I also want to pray for you. And finally, if you're someone this morning, you're saying, well, Pastor, I really want to obey Jesus more. I really want to love the people more in this church, that I also want to pray for you. So this is your time. This is your time. If God has spoken to you this morning through me, through the Word of God, and God is speaking to you and God is saying, yes, that is you, son. That is you, daughter. I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Is there anyone here this morning who says, yes, Pastor, I need prayer. Yes. I want to grow my intimacy with you, Pastor. Yes. I see your hand. Anyone else? Yes. Because I think every one of us, we need to grow in our intimacy with Him. Is your condemning heart really troubling you this morning? Do you need someone to pray over you so you say, yes, God is greater. God forgives me. The heart doesn't have the final say. God has the final say. Anyone else? I want everyone upstanding now. We're going to just pray to God. We're going to pray to God. Inside your heart, wherever you're at, you pray to God. Maybe your prayer is, thank you, Jesus, that I belong to you. Thank you for confirming in my heart that I belong to you. That could be your prayer. And maybe for some of you, you want to come forward so that I and the leaders can pray for you. So as we begin to worship this last song here, if you raise your hand and you want prayer, I want you to come forward because I want to pray for you. I believe that this morning, God will do a miracle in your heart. God can change your situation. God can bring you closer to Him. So let's do that. Let's just worship God. I'll ask the worship team to lead us in worship. And if you have raised your hand and you want to come forward in prayer, I encourage you to come forward because I want to pray for you. And I believe that in my prayer for you, God will change your situation. Amen? So let's just do it right now. You come whenever you want to come. You come forward when you want to come forward. Let's just worship God.